and experience, for the opportunities are, of course, endless. In order to guide us, and as I reflected on the task, I thought of scriptures that would assist as we consider what is needed. And our passage for today, Colossians 1:24 to 2:5, is one that gives us great insight into what Christian ministry is. For in this passage, we have a description of the role of an important servant of Christ. It outlines for us the role of the Apostle Paul. And as we look at his role, we will be able to see more clearly what is to be the role not just of an assistant minister, but all the servants of Christ in his church. So before we turn to the passage, let me pray. Our Father God, we pray as we come to this word that you will teach us what the role of Paul was and that you will enable us to understand more fully what we ought to be doing as your people at this time and in this place. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at Paul, the servant of Christ, I want us to notice three things. Firstly, his task. Secondly, his goal. And thirdly, what he experiences in his ministry. Well, firstly, his task. In our passage, Paul speaks of his labours, of his toil, struggling with all his energy, verse 29. But for what? Well, people today labour and struggle with all their energy for different ends. It might be to get ahead in a chosen career. It might be to get a particular qualification. It might be to earn enough money to pay the private school fees to give their child a better chance in life than what they had. It might be to get selected for that rep team or to meet a particular challenge like yesterday's Oxfam walk. There are all sorts of driven people in the world. What is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you to get out of bed in the morning? Well, what is it that motivated the Apostle Paul? We know that he had a message that he wanted to proclaim from the rooftops. Of course, there are many people with many messages. One such message is good life, good death, good grief. They are a group who want to educate people about how to die well, from their perspective. Another one is the campaign against climate change, or the Australian Marriage Equality Group, who are working hard to allow same-sex marriage. I was at the AFL yesterday, and Beyond Blue were collecting for those suffering with depression and anxiety. There are lots of groups out there campaigning for lots of causes, some good and some not so good. Well, what was it that the Apostle Paul was campaigning for? Or more to the point, who was it that the Apostle Paul was campaigning for? Well, it's there for us, quite straightforward in verse 28. We proclaim him, the him being Christ. We proclaim him. Friends, what was Paul's task? To proclaim Jesus, the Christ. What should be an assistant minister's task? To proclaim Christ. What should be our task? To proclaim Christ. Everything else must be subsumed under that. Friends, the message we proclaim is Christ. No more, no less. Christ alone, as the Reformation slogan goes. Not Christ plus good works, or not Christ plus religious practices, or not Christ plus the teaching of the church if it doesn't agree with the Bible. No, we proclaim Christ. It was through Christ and he alone that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell and to reconcile to himself all things by making peace on the cross. Verses 19 and 20. Friends, that is the task of the servant of Christ, to proclaim him. Paul states in verse 25 that he was commissioned by God to present the word of God in all its fullness, what he describes as the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Many religions have mysteries. These are usually secret insights that are only disclosed to an elite few. or that can never be discovered because God is so far removed from the person. But in the Christian faith, the mystery is what was hidden in the past but is now revealed to everyone. It is made known to all. What was once hidden is now being revealed. Well, what characterises this mystery? Well, it is glorious, verse 27. And a thing of great treasure, verse 27. And what is this glorious thing of great treasure that we should long for? Verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Being in Christ, as we heard earlier. Israel's Messiah is now known and acknowledged not just in Israel, but in you, Colossians, says Paul. Christ in you Gentiles, the alienated and hostile Gentiles, have been reconciled to their Jewish brethren in Christ. The mystery of God, which is now revealed, is that people from every nation are being brought to Christ. And those who are reconciled to him have hope. Real hope, the hope of glory. So friends, that is the servant's task, to make known this glorious thing of great treasure, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our task is to proclaim him, to proclaim that Christ. It is what the servant does in public and in private, formally and informally, in season and out of season. In verse 28, in some versions, the word everyone is mentioned three times. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Gary Miller, an Irish pastor now working in Oz, spoke at men's convention a few years back, and he mentioned a woman who was in his congregation, and she would often come to him after his sermons and complain that all he ever did was speak about Jesus. And he said that he took this as the highest of compliments. Friends, the task of a servant is to proclaim Christ to everyone, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. That is the servant's task. That was Paul's task. That will be the new assistant's task. And that, brothers and sisters, is our task. That is what we are to be toiling for. So let us not be sidetracked. We need to be a place where the proclamation of Christ is at front and centre. That is why we say we want to love people so they may see Christ, and we want to reach people so they may know Christ. And if you're a Sunday kids teacher, you must be proclaiming Christ. A youth group leader, whatever else you do, you must be proclaiming Christ. A small group leader, you must be proclaiming Christ. If you're a parent, you must be proclaiming Christ to your children. What is the task, in case you haven't got it yet? To proclaim him. Him we must proclaim. Well, secondly, Paul's goal. It is there for us in verse 28. Look at it with me. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. It's a grand goal. It's a high goal. Everyone mature in Christ, as it is in the ESV version. What a great goal for the Lord's Apostle. What a great goal for our next assistant minister. What a great goal for all of us here at St. John's, to present everyone mature in Christ. That is why the third point of our mission statement is that we want to equip people so they may serve Christ. As people are taught and equipped by God's Spirit, they will grow to maturity. The goal isn't just lots of new converts, as good as that is. But he wants those converts to grow so that everyone may be presented mature in Christ. To that end, Paul labours, struggling with all God's energy. Sometimes we can labour hard and struggle hard, but somehow the goal gets lost. We are endeavouring to keep the wheels turning, and many, many people here are doing all sorts of ministries and serving in various ways. And we want to have a church operating on so many fronts. with so many ministries and activities. But unless we have our goal clear to present everyone mature in Christ, those things may become ends in themselves, and the very things that are there to facilitate the proclamation of Christ could get in the road of us proclaiming Christ. So friends, let me encourage you to not aim low. We need to proclaim Christ and pray for new disciples, and we need to disciple those new disciples so that everyone may be presented mature in Christ. We might not need more ministries, but what we do need is more disciple-making disciples. Christian maturity is not just for a few, but for all. So let me ask you, what steps can you take to grow in your Christian life? It might be as simple as saying, I'm going to commit to being at church each week, no matter what. It may be that you will join one of our small growth groups. It may be that you purchase some of our books of the month and work your way through them. And what steps can you take to grow others in their Christian life? It may be that you set aside time to read the scriptures with your spouse or a good friend. It may be that the people you get to know in that ESL class, that you invite one of them to read the Bible with you. It may be that you start to read the Bible one-to-one with an older or a younger Christian to encourage one another. Well, thirdly, what was the experience like as Paul got on with the task? Was it a great buzz being the apostle to the Gentiles? Was it a bed of roses? Was it exciting? Well, let's move on to his experience. What indeed was it like? But before we look at Paul, let me ask, what is it that is most likely to derail you from persevering in proclaiming Christ? Is it the discouragements that come your way, or the setbacks, or perhaps the unpopularity of the Christian faith? It may be for you that it is the seemingly unimpressive nature of the message, or just the hard grind of keeping at it and seemingly not seeing any results. For others, it might be the outward ridicule that can come your way. How do these things affect you? Do they have the potential to drag you down or to drag you away from serving God altogether? Well, let us turn now to Paul's experience and see whether that can put our potential obstacles in a new light. Verse 24 is one of the most difficult texts in the whole of the New Testament, but there is something unmistakable about Paul's experience that we can glean from that verse. And it is this: Paul's experience was one of suffering. The verse reads, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church." Paul had suffered. He had been afflicted. In 1:29, we read that he labours, struggling with all God's energy that is at work in him. In 2:1, he writes that he wants them to know how much he is struggling for them and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met him personally. We see from this, firstly, Paul suffers for the Colossians' sake, and secondly, he suffers for the sake of Christ's body, the church. So two questions arise. Firstly, we must ask, how does Paul's suffering benefit the Colossians and others that he hasn't even met? And secondly, what does it mean that he is filling up in his flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions? Well, let's note firstly what it cannot mean. It cannot mean that somehow there was something lacking in Christ's death for mankind on the cross that needed to be added to by the Apostle Paul. The context stresses the total sufficiency of Christ, who chapter 1 verse 20 tells us has made peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As the prayer book puts it, the one perfect complete sacrifice. Well, if it doesn't mean that, what does it mean? Well, while Christ's sacrifice on the cross was sufficient, the Christ continues to suffer through his people. So by Paul's suffering, he is filling up what still remains of the sufferings of Christ. Remember when Paul was called on the Damascus Road? The risen Lord said to him, "Not why do you persecute my people, but why do you persecute me?" As God's people suffer, the Christ is suffering and his afflictions continue to be filled up. What Paul realized from that day on was that suffering was the great privilege of the servant. When Ananias was called by the Lord in a vision to go and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, he was told that the Lord will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And this experience of suffering is the mark of all believers. Acts 14:22 says, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." And Paul says that he rejoices in these sufferings because he knows that it is part of God's will for him, indeed for any servant of the Christ. So friends, from all of this, we see that suffering is not a setback to the job description of proclaiming Christ. It is not a serious roadblock to the task, but it is actually part of the job description. It is part of the task, and a key part at that. It is God's will that the servant suffers. It is God's plan to make the word of God fully known, but this happens through suffering servants. The very character of the movement that takes the word of God to the world is one of suffering. So friends, I must see my suffering in a different light, and so must you. For there will be disappointments, setbacks, ridicule. But when you experience it, take heart. Indeed, more than that, rejoice. For it is part of God's plan that is bringing about his purposes through the whole world. We could look for a struggle-free, suffering-free ministry. But if it's true ministry, that doesn't exist. So friends, when you suffer for the sake of the gospel, don't be discouraged. Disappointed, perhaps, but discouraged, no, for suffering isn't a setback to serving our Lord, but it is part and parcel of that ministry. Don't be discouraged, for you are filling up the afflictions of Christ. And don't be sidetracked by looking for an easier way or watering down the message to make it more acceptable. Gospel ministry is hard. It is toil. It is struggle. So friends, as we conclude, let me recap. Firstly, what was Paul's task and what is to be our task? Pure and simple, to proclaim Christ. Secondly, what was Paul's goal and what is to be our goal? To present everyone mature in Christ. And thirdly, what was Paul's experience in ministry and what will be ours? It will be marked by suffering. Friends, by God's grace, let us get on with that great task, striving for that great goal, but not forgetting that suffering won't be far away. Amen.